Hello, I'm Robert Pallas, and you're listening to Cut Talks, double G, U, double T.
So, I guess in your day-to-day job, and I'm making an assumption here, and I'm someone who does not like assumptions, and I say assumptions are the worst thing, but there we go, I'm making an assumption here. You must be facing lots of misconceptions around AI or around blockchain technologies when someone comes to you. And for you, like, if you imagine your heart is someone like squeezing it, like, don't tell me this, how many times I'm gonna repeat this in my head, right? What are some of the common misconceptions you come across?
Okay, that's a great one. And actually, I would say that blockchain and AI are in that regard quite different, meaning that with AI, people have come to expect more than it is capable, that it will solve all of their problems and they can deploy it everywhere for every case. And even that they should deploy it everywhere with every case, it's kind of like a fear of missing out. My competitors are building with AI, so I have to as well. Maybe they don't even have a case that is great for AI. Maybe they don't have even the data to make the predictions. Maybe the language model is not great help to solve any of their use cases or business problems. So they might overestimate what they can do with AI. So on the other hand, like blockchain, which on the core brings you decentralization and ownership of data. So you can start owning digital pieces of information, but at the same time, they are programmable. So you can build a lot of very complex things on top of blockchain. And the people who come to who come with an idea to build something, they don't always see all of the opportunity that is out there. Of course, we have to keep in mind the complexity. So we have to manage the end user's ability to interact with anything that we are building.
And I guess you have lots of also things that come your way or get thrown, because it's about building products, right? I think there's something, or there's lack of knowledge that each time you make a tweak or you want to change some things, it impacts a lot of things that are in the back end, even more than the front end sometimes. And this is something you face frequently?
The more complex the project is, obviously, there are more moving parts there are. Mm-hmm. But the best software is built modularly. So you try to keep the moving parts separate as possible. So updating user management, for example, wouldn't interfere with if we talk about maybe we have some predictions. So the prediction model wouldn't be affected. And just to split it out as early as possible in the most meaningful way, and keep in mind all the time when you keep developing that the nature of software changes. So you might also need to change the architecture that you're running it on top of.
Last thing here, I want to ask, how do you see, I'm asking you to predict here, kind of, how do you see your work evolving over the next few years? I know it's a tough one, you don't have answers, but how, based on what you know now, and the trends that you're seeing coming, you know, we read about them all the time. Where do you see that you're going to be heading to? What are you preparing for?
For sure, we are preparing for growth in usage of AI tools, as there are some low-hanging fruits there, some problems that can be solved with just integrating with ChatGPT, which is still by far the best language model available out there, both accuracy, speed, but also cost. So there is a lot of applications that can go that way. And for that, we are organizing a hackathon in September in Tallinn. It's a real live event, people coming together, which hasn't happened that much in the last few years, right?
Yeah.
And now it's coming back, so we are happy to be involved. On the other side, I think blockchain use cases are going to grow. We're going to start seeing more and more actual real-world benefits, which will then fuel people's imagination even further of what can be built and what can be achieved. And today, a lot of effort in blockchain development and blockchain applications is on the infrastructure side to build the tools for coding and to build platforms to gather and manipulate information, but also the base layers themselves, that we have a lot of layer one and scaling solutions and layer twos to attract developers but less so. And that is the reality, actually, that applications that everyday people use to change the life for the better, the scale is not yet there. But as was with AI, we just had one very large success case with ChatGPT. I think there is a pretty big likelihood that the same thing will happen with blockchain. And we will start also seeing overlap in those two domains. I've been thinking about that quite a bit, like where can blockchain support AI and where AI can support blockchain. And for sure, one problem that we have with generative AI is the authenticity of content out there. Like, is this video that we're recording right now, are Maria and Robert really people? Or did we just give our digital avatars and we told them to have a chat for hour? So that's something that blockchain could be used for, to us, like, as people, we would sign those pieces of content somehow that prove that we were the actual people behind this chat. And for sure, there is vice versa options as well. So I'm super excited for the next few years, much more so excited than scared.
Okay. It's interesting what you mentioned, because it's something I've been thinking about, but more on the ownership side, because for sure they're linked, right? Linked, I mean, you can combine them together and do lots of things. And when you talk about data, no matter what that data it is, who owns what if there's a gray area? And how would you put this on the blockchain?
Yeah, well, in the social media platforms that we are using today, they own the data. So if you put it out there, they can do whatever they want with it. If you're talking about Web3 social, then the user owns the data and they can also monetize it the way they do, the way they see fit. So people might be paying you for your tweet in the future. If they put a like, maybe you get a micropayment.
Maybe that's where Elon is heading to, but
he's probably somewhere in the middle. Okay. And at times, it seems like he is not sure himself either.
So the question here, let's assume this podcast, right, Got Talks. We're hosting it on different platforms, obviously. And it's you and I having this conversation. Who owns what? I clearly don't have a contract with every guest who comes, right? Because we're having a conversation. But it's not about who owns what. We have the platform. We have yourself and I. And this goes on. Now, you know, usually when you come on a podcast, it's just to have a, you know, conversation, whatever. And but if we think in this respect, if you're generating data from talking, any kind of content, or from measuring something with other tools or hardware, or it doesn't matter, what is the balance like if everything is on the blockchain and something will be done with it? What would happen? I don't know if my question is clear. It's just thinking out loud. I don't know.
Yeah, I think I get it. To me, whoever produces it should be the owner of it. And I mean, the production process might be very complex and tricky. If we were building out the movie, for example, we would have actors, we would have voiceovers, we would have technicians, we would have special effects, audio
producers,
directors, you name it. Yeah, there's a whole group of people involved. And we would also have investors to fund the movie. So I would think that everybody owns this.
Yeah.
And it's a fractional ownership. So when this kind of streaming platform user actually gives a peek and watches the whole thing, then they will also pay like a fractional payment for it. And that will be divided by all of the owners. And all of the owners of that movie who created it, maybe the sound guy needs some funds and he sells his or her shares in the open market, and everybody else can see what was the going price. So they can decide accordingly, do I want to buy or do I want to sell my shares? And that kind of open economy is one of the futures of blockchain supported internet infrastructure that I see. We actually came to a really good example, and thank you for taking us there, that all content in the world, I think, will benefit from this kind of process where everything is transparent. Yeah. There's a lot of problems that come from the data and the movement of funds being somewhere hidden. A lot of people with power grab a larger share than they should, and they make everybody else dependent on that. Whilst the creators, some of whom might be super talented, have a smaller chance to get out there. But now we have already now the infrastructure in place. Now we need those applications. And those applications need to tackle the movie making, the music industry, the broadcasting, but everything from there, including producing of software, will be affected. Where maybe in the future we are not companies, we are DAOs. So everybody's contributing their small bit for both the private sector and the government projects, and everybody's contribution can be tracked back to blockchain activities. So we will have a lot of new challenges, but that's the future I do support for sure.
Yeah, we will, and you will keep building. And that's I like how you put it together, because it's something I've been thinking about a lot. And, you know, for the example you gave, if someone sells one NFT, will get royalty for life, you know, things like that. This is where the whole beauty and magic of Web3, where things can come together. And it's true, like that's the beef. You know, you're posting on LinkedIn, I'm posting on LinkedIn, but whoever benefits is only LinkedIn, right? This is just one example. But also on ChatGPT, everyone's feeding so much data. Are you, by the way, that's the last thing I want to ask you, as like, that's the question I like to ask software developers. And I asked Jano, for example, and Jano's answer was no, because his code is cleaner. Do you use ChatGPT? I know you're not coding, but your team, or are you pushing them to use ChatGPT for code?
When I do code, I use ChatGPT, and a lot of people in my team as well. I for sure encourage. There is a lot of places where you can use ChatGPT or other AI-based tools. There are more specific code-related tools out there that integrate directly with the development environment that the developers use to produce code. And one of them is just generating test data, for example. So you have built like an application that has a certain feature set that takes in maybe a group of podcasts with their attributes. So your one option is to just go out there and look for different podcasts and type out the data structure to test it out. But you can just tell the ChatGPT that this is my format. Give me 100. Give me 1,000 different. Options with different data, and then send it back in, and you can generate the test cases as well that use this bogus data, because you don't really care exactly what is in the data sometimes. So you just need to see if the code runs with different amounts of data going through it.
Yeah, I asked about ChatGPT because you said you think it's the best so far. But yeah, there are, every day we have new, let's see which ones will survive. I think that's
well,
the thing.
Many of them are actually built on top of ChatGPT. Like most of them are built on top of ChatGPT these days that are any good. So even the coding ones, their backend is still ChatGPT. So your question was fully relevant.
Okay. Cool. Robert, is there anything else we didn't talk about that you would like to talk about?
I think we covered a lot of AI, a lot of product development. Which was slightly unexpected for me that we took that route, but I'm glad, because this is close to heart, and I know I can be very political in my answers sometimes, but I really like how we ended it with a really concrete use case for the blockchain.
Cool, awesome! Thank you so much.
Thank you, Maria.
It starts with the gut. It ends with the gut. It's in your gut.
Gut Talks.
This is the end of this season, of season 3 of Gut Talks, where we had numerous guests. Stay tuned for season 4. We will be back after a short break. So make sure you subscribe to stay in the loop. And thanks again for listening.